wishful thinking. 28 pages I see for today.
Right. Yeah, this is a five lecture series, which I think we're gonna have to just kick it off. That's about it, you know. Unless you want to continue with this another week, we'll see.
Whatever you want.
So, of course, this week we have the parasha of Ma'aras HaMachpelah and the purchase of a burial place for Sarah. And the question is, this minog that we have of being mishtateach b'kivrei tzadikim, what's it all about? It's an accepted minog for many, many generations. It goes back probably to the time of Tanakh. And it's accepted in all Tfutzas Yisrael. We're not talking about any specific community, Ashkenazim, Sfaradim, it's all the way. And that's where we show up, and we're mispalel for ourselves, for our communities, Klal and Prat. The poskim are going to have a difficulty, which we'll get to in just a few minutes. But first, what we want to mention is that there are many, many sources in Tanakh and in Gemara for this minhag. It's not something that was, you know, that popped up in the last century or so. And there's a great, according to the sources, we'll see there's a great benefit from getting the mason on our side to pray for us. In fact, in many cases, we're going to see that there was actually communication with the mason in the Makom Kvura, in which live people asked the dead to come to their aid and to help them out, to save them from various sorrows. And we're going to have a problem with that. But in any event, we want to see if we can establish that as being true and then figure out how it works. There are many kvarim where you'll go to and you'll visit and you'll see kvitloch, you'll see little pitkaot, as they say, that have been placed on the kever of a tzaddik. And basically we see that there are three different categories of experiences. Number one, there are those who will pray directly to the tzaddik and ask the tzaddik to help them out. There are those who will not ask the tzaddik for help, but will ask the tzaddik to represent them and offer some good words on their behalf. And then there are those who will turn directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asking for his help in the schus of the tzaddik, but that they will do in the makom kvura of the tzaddik. Now, as I said before, this is a widespread minhag. And if you have some of the pages here, let's take a look at some of the sources for this. Now, there's a sefer called Chaye Yisrael, which again, I don't know if you have that page, but it's on page 11. He quotes a psikta, which we don't have anywhere else. And the psikta records a dialogue between Yaakov Avinu and Yosef regarding the Makom Kvura of Rachel, of Mother Rachel. And it becomes clear in that psikta that Yaakov explains to Yosef, his son, that there's a great tefillah, a great efficacy to a tefillah on the kever of Rachel. It's a skula, and Yaakov Avinu claims that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Bechvod of Atzmo, who taught this skula. So Mirtz Hashem, if we get a chance, we'll take a look into this psikta. But again, the minhag now really dates back to Yaakov Avinu and Kever Rachel. The Gemara Masechta Soto, which is on page 1, tells us that Kalev ben Yefuna, on his way out with the Meraglim, stopped by the Ma'aras HaMachpelah to be Mishtatech al Kivrei Avos, and he turns to them and he says, Avosai, Bikshu alai rachamim she'enotzel mi'atzas meraglim. Clearly fitting into the category of asking the mason to pray on your behalf. In this case, on Kalev's behalf. In the same Sefer Chai Yisrael, on page 11, he brings a Zohar that tells us about the wife of Avadya, who was left as a widow after her husband Avadya Hanavi died. She came to be mishtateach on her husband's kever and cried out to him, Yirei Elokim, kach v'kach osim liyisomecha. This is what's going on with your orphans. And it seems that according to this Zohar, Avadya appeared to his wife and told her to show up at the kever of Elisha Navi and there to be mavakish, to ask help from Elisha. There's a Nusach HaTfil that's been published in many books of a tefillah to be recited at the Maras HaMachpelah, and in that tefillah a Medrash is quoted that at the time of the Churban HaNavi, Yirmiyahu HaNavi went to be Mishtateach on the Kivrei Avos, and he requested of them, this is a poem, Dovavu Bekol Tachnunim Pnei Shochein Ma'onim. Speak in a voice of supplication and have a dialogue or prayer with the Shochein Ma'onim, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, we see here that this minig to be mishtateach al kivrei avos goes back to the time of the Torah itself, the time of the Nevi'im, this minog of going to kivrei tzaddikim with a great deal of toelis, a lot of purposeful help, and the chayim, those who are alive, get the help of those who had already departed. On page 1 of Yemar Makomos, we have a Gemara in Tainis on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that at a time of a drought, we go out to the Beis HaKvaros. And the Gemara offers two explanations as to why we go to the Beis HaKvaros. Let me just turn to the page. The Gemara says, it's the second source on your page, that according to one opinion, Harei anu chashuvim lefanecha kameisim, it's a kind of dramatic way of saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're already considered dead because there's no rains coming down. According to Chad, according to the second opinion, Kidei sheyivakshu aleinu meisim rachamim, that those who are buried in the Beis HaKvaros will pray on our behalf to get compassion and save us from this drought. The nafkamina between the two pshatim, the Gemara says, is whether or not we go out even to a non-Jewish cemetery. If we're going there just to demonstrate that we're like Mason, then we could go to a non-Jewish cemetery. If, on the other hand, we're trying to invoke the prayers of the Mason, then for sure we don't go to pray in a non-Jewish cemetery. There are all sorts of gilulim that you'll find in a non-Jewish cemetery. That's not an appropriate place for tefillah. And if you take a look on page 4 of the Maror Makomos, you'll see the Mishnah Berurah. Just one second. The Mishnah Berurah, which is on the bottom of your page, he says that we have to be very careful about, again, I don't know exactly how to translate these words, but Yesh Lachush is Dabku Bo Hachitzonim. I guess there's certain kinds of spooky things that hang around and linger in the Beis HaKvaros. So that's something that we have to be careful about, and we'll try to see if we can figure out what that means. I'll read to you his language. He writes, Yotzim kolam lebeis hakvaros ubochim ischanim sham hare atem mesim ka'elu im lo toshim midarkachem. And on that, the Mishnah Berurah says that, the Ramah adds, im ein kivrei Yisrael holchim el kivrei Nochrim. In other words, since the Mechaber is codifying the first explanation of the Gemara in Tainis, Harayat Adu Kimesim, then we could accomplish the same goal if we go to a non-Jewish cemetery. Says the Mishnah Berurah, however, Lefi Tam Hasheni, but according to the second explanation of the Gemara, Kedeli Vakesh, Me'amesim, Shivakshu Amesim Aleinu Rachamim, Ein Lelech Lekivrei Kusim, Ubefrat Lefi. Second, I can't read the next word. Nisuach Shalonu Shonu Omer Be'er Vosh Shonu Be'er Yom Kippur Al Beis HaKfaris Bevadei Tzok Dafka Kivrei Yisrael. So the Mishnah Berurah indicates that there was a minog on Erev Rosh Hashanah and Erev Yom Kippur to go out to the cemetery, and they would pray in the cemetery. And therefore he says, for sure, we want to go to a Jewish cemetery. And b'mekomos, but in a non-Jewish cemetery, ma'midim giluim al kivreim, they have all sorts of images, is bevadei ein nochon lispalel shom. So it's interesting that there's no absolute prohibition against, you know, enjoining us from visiting a non-Jewish cemetery, but that's not a place where you want to pray. The Gemara in Tainis on Daf Chav Gimel, which is the third source on your page, on page one, tells us that Rabbi Yonah, who was Mitkifei Gedolei Eretz Yisrael, he's one of the most powerful giants in Eretz Yisrael. After he passed away, his son Rabbi Moni went to be Mishtateach al Kever Aviv, on the Kever of Rabbi Yonah. The Siper Lo, and he tells his father, Ki Anshe Beis Hanasi Hoyim Mitzarim Oso, that he, the son, is being persecuted by people from the Beis Hanasi. The Omar Lo, Abba Abba, Hinini Mitzaro Li. And he cried out to his father about the tsar that they're bringing upon him. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, which you'll see as the fourth source in your page, in Perek HaPoel, HaPoelim, says that one of the Amoraim had a problem with Rabbi Chia. He did something to insult him, and as a result, he became blind. He went out to the kever of Rabbi Chia in his palel sham, and he told Rabbi Chia at Rabbi Chia's kever, "Ano amino masnisin demar. I'm studying the Torah, your Torah." And then Rabbi Chia prayed on his behalf in Isrape, and he became healthy. And this is the source for the minug of asking someone to study someone's Torah. And even at its very kever, usually we don't study Torah at a kever, but for the sake of this kind of a prayer, we study Torah at a kever. The Gemara in Sota, which is the bottom of your page, says that there's a kvura of Moshe Rabbeinu, but we don't know where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. And the Bach brings down a memra. You'll see that goes Habach here on the side, that doesn't appear in our Shas. Mipneiman istater kivro shel Moshe meni beis avdom. Why was the kever of Moshe hidden from man? Mipnei shegoli v'yadu lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'asid beis hamikdash li'charev u'lahaglos es b'nei Yisrael mi'artzom shem yavou l'kvurasa shel Moshe v'yosashah v'yamdu b'tfilah v'yishchananu l'moshe v'yomu lo Moshe Rabbeinu amod b'tfilah b'adenu. The people of Israel at the time of Golus will beseech Moshe Rabbeinu to stand in prayer on their behalf. the Omed Moshe, Umevatel Sagzera, Mibnesha Chavivin Sadikim Mimisosim Yosem Mibachayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to rob us of this power of Tefillah B'makom Kvuras Moshe, which would activate or awaken Moshe to prayer, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have to hearken to Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer. Again, just to summarize everything that we've seen from all these different Gemaras and different the Zohar and the Psikta and the Medrash, we see clearly that we have a tradition, a long-standing tradition, to visit the Kivrei Tzaddikim and in those places to be mispalel both on behalf of the Klal and on behalf of the Prat. And this leads us to the main questions for today. Question number one. Now, to appreciate the first question, turn to page 2. And we're going to look at the Rambam's, the first of the Rambam's 13 principles of the faith. I'm sorry, it's not the first of the principles, it's the fifth of the principles. Let me just double check that. 1 second. Yeah, Hayisod HaChamishi. That's on the bottom right. Shehu Yisparach Roy La'avdo La'gadlo Lo Diagadluso Lasos Mitzvosov Vishelo Yaseh Kozeh L'mishu Tachto V'Mitzius Beimen HaMalachim V'Kochavim V'Kalgalim V'Yisodos. So we have to serve God and only God. We have to notify and declare His greatness and to fulfill His mitzvos. But we should not have that kind of relationship to any other existing entity other than God. Ela lo levado yisbarach. Only towards God. To serve Hashem. V'chein, says the Rambam, ein roi li'avdom kidei lios emtzaim lekarvam elav. He should not set up anything or anybody as an intermediary, but rather Ela Elov Bilvad Yechavnu Machshavos. All his thoughts should be directly to Hashem. V'anichu Kol Mashezulos. So drop anything but him. V'zeu Yisod HaChamishi Hu Shehizir Al Avodazor V'rova Torah Maseres Olav. So it's clear from the Rambam that not only do we serve Hashem and pray to Hashem, but we don't allow any prayer towards an intermediary to mediate, to intervene, or intercede on our behalf. We pray directly to Hashem. And in the light of this Yisod, we wonder about all these sources that we saw that seem to contradict that Yisod of the Rambam and allow praying to the tzaddikim and asking them to pray and intercede on our behalf. Why is that not a violation of one of the principles of the faith by making the tzaddik in this case an emtza'i, a go-between, a mitavech, as we say in modern Hebrew, to bring us salvation, that he, the tzaddik, should be the one who's praying on our behalf? And then the second question we want to ask is that very often with these tefillos to the tzaddikim who are no longer alive, there would seem at the face of it to be a violation of a lav of Doresh El HaMeisim. If you take a look at the Rambam on page 2 in Hilchos Avel, that's Perek Dalet Halacha Dalet, the Rambam says, "Mitzaynen es hakvaros bonim nefesh al kever atzadikim ein bonim le nefine." This is all complicated dinim, but the last line is what most interests us. "Vlo yifna adol lebeis hakvaros." A person shouldn't go to communicate with the dead in a Beis HaKvaros. If you take a look in the Radbaz, he says, "Lo yifna adam levaker nefesh." All right, we'll see this a little bit later. It's based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which in turn is based on a pasuk in Parsha Shoftim. The pasuk says, "Lo yimotze becha mavir bino bito b'yesh," etc., etc. Menachesh mechashim v'chover chover v'shoel ovi don v'doresh el amesim. So there's a separate lav in the Torah for doresh el amesim. The question is how to define that Isur of Doresh al Amesim in such a way that would allow us to communicate with the dead and ask the dead for various etzos as to how we should live our lives. Like, for example, we saw in the case of Eishes Ovadia that Ovadia told her, again he was already dead, to be Doresh, to try to get an Eitzah and protect their Yesomim, their orphans, from Elisha Navi. Go to the kever of Elisha Navi. And why isn't that Doresh al Mason? Now, if you take a look on page 3 of these Maramakomos, you'll see the Bach. The Bach in Yoredeya, Simon Reish Yud Zion. Okay. Now wait a minute, where did I put page 4? Oh, here it is.
Okay. Page 3.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to see if there's anything on page 4. No. Okay, page 4 is all Arachayim, one after the other. Okay, page 3, he says the following. Od ra'isi tshuva al shem moreno Rav Chaim Paltiel. Now this Rav Chaim Paltiel was a Rishon. He was a Talmud of the Maharami Rutenberg. Alanodrim Lelech Lebeis HaKvaros. So there were those who took upon themselves a pledge, a vow to visit a Beis HaKvaros. Ktsas HaYenir Kedoresh Al HaMesim. And yet Kolev Nishtatech Al Kivrei Avos V'spalel L'sham B'mokom Kedusha. Now this is very interesting, because we don't necessarily identify, I mean, we don't intuitively identify a cemetery as a Makom Kedusha. Here he's saying that Kivrei Avos is a Makom Kedusha. Kedesha Tia Tifiloso Nishmas. In other words, when a person prays amongst the various elements that make his prayer or contribute to the efficacy of his prayer, one of them is makom, which we derive in last week's parasha from Avraham Avinu in the story of stone, because Avraham Avinu goes back in Parshas Vayera to the same place that he davened earlier on behalf of stone. Malamish HaMakom Gorem, it means that there's something called a Makom Tefillah. And any place that's sanctified with Kedusha has a certain school of power, a certain inherent metaphysical power to strengthen the efficacy of prayer. So basically, according to the tshuva here of Reb Chaim Paltiel, there's no blanket heter to go to the Beis HaKvaros and be Doresh al HaMesim. The exceptional case is that of Kolev, who goes to Kivrei Avos, because Kivrei Avos is considered a Makom Kedusha, and that's going to make a prayer more effective. Inami, another possibility as to why we can visit a cemetery. Mishad bizas hames. If a person insulted another person during his lifetime, now he's gone. Is lichvodo in his honor mishtatech al kivro. He goes to his burial site. In fact, there's halacha that we'll soon see on page 4 about asking mechila from a person that you insulted during his lifetime by going out to the cemetery. He writes, "Ach noshim bnei yodim she'enom yodim ze lo yadati halichasam lema." In other words, barring those two pressing reasons to visit the cemetery. So if you're a scholar and you know that this is a makom kadosh, there's some sort of dire need, urgent need to pray there, or in a case where you insulted someone, now you want to go back to their makom kvura, but to you know, this I'm saying that the fact that other people, you know, just haphazardly or as a matter of you know, standard, just unqualified, you know, they just go out to the Beis HaKvaros, he calls them Noshim u'bnei Adam she'enam yodim zeh. They don't know that the only heter that you're allowed to go to Beis HaKvaros is either X or Y. They just go out without any hesitation. Lo yadati alichasam lama. In other words, he feels that that such a neder is not really valid. Just take a neder that you'll visit a cemetery. Vani rogel iftoch lem b'charata. In other words, if such a neder comes in front of me, I try to find a pesach. V'yatiru lem es haneder. And instead give tzedakah. That's better than going to the Beis HaKvaros. He says, "Umiu kvar etziku b'minig zeh." He says, unfortunately, this tradition has become so widespread. V'ein mocher, and no one seems to protest. V'yesh lem smach b'sefer zohar, and they rely on a zohar. But he says, even the zohar is only dafkal ishtatech al kivrei avos. You know, to go to the Maris HaMachpelah. He's praying directly to Hashem, but he's trying to be mazgir schus avos by going to the kivrei avos. Ukvar niskenu sidrei hatfila lamishtatchim al kivrei avos. So he says, therefore, we cannot void this minog. But on the other hand, he seems to be very, you know, very inhibited about it, very limited about it. And the impression you get is that for the amcha, for the rank and file citizen, really there's no serious heter to go to a cemetery. We're talking about, you know, individuals who go to a cemetery like Kali Ben Yefuna, they're very exceptional. They recognize the Makom Kedusha. They are Balei Darga Ruchnis. They are spiritually of a high level. They know exactly what to do at a Beis HaKvaros. And in certain cases, they have come to ask Mechila from the deceased. But in many cases, he says, Rav Paltiel, that there's no purpose at all in going to a kever. And as we said before, the reason why he's inhibited is because of the problem of being Dorish al Mesim, or using the dead as an intermediary to reach Hashem and have the, you know, others pray on your behalf. That's not acceptable. Now, in the case of Kol Ben Yefuna, their coming to Kivrei Avos is a schus. Why? Because of the skula of Kedushas HaMakom. Which is very interesting, because usually we identify tumah, you know, the dead body brings contamination, not kedusha. But again, we're talking about tzaddikim. You know, tzaddikim are considered tahorim, And you know, they're not metame, maybe. Again, I'm not getting into the whole question about whether or not kibrei tzaddikim are metame or not. I think we once touched on it, but at least conceptually, the atzamos, the bones of a tzaddik are tahoros, and that becomes a makom kedusha. And we have a principle in tefillah of a makom gorem, that the makom itself somehow lends to the, or strengthens the powerful effectiveness of a tefillah. Now, if you take a look on page 3, you'll also see on the same page, on top, the Drushas Haran. And in the Drushas Haran, he mentions the Ramban, and he writes, Ki bemtzaut ha-neviim v'chassidim yushpa ha-shefa l'chol b'nei dorom. That the people, the great people who are alive in a certain generation, like the pious and the certainly the prophets, when they die, they continue to have some sort of an impact on their generation, even after their death. V'yashpiu shefa l'chol b'nei dorom gam li'achar mosom. They have this impact even after their death. Mekomos kvoroseim ru'uyim. In the place where they are buried, it's fit, it's suitable, li'motzei, to be found there, shefa, some sort of influence, b'tzad ben atzdodim, in one way or another, ki atzmoseim asher kvar, Hayu kolim lechol al atzmoseim asher kvar yukolim lachol aleim ashefa loki. Somehow there's a divine influence that comes down to their kever. Vadayin nisher b'maylo v'kavod, and their level that they achieved during their lifetime. And their glory still somehow continues even after death. That connection with God continues. Ubipnei zeh amru chazal, sheroi lishtateich al kivrei atzadikim uspalshon. I mean, this is the most positive, you know, advocacy in favor of visiting kivrei tzadikim. I mean, he's saying, Royal shtatek al kivrei tzaddikim uspal shom ki atfilu b'mokom ahu ritzuya yoser. Again, what I see here in this Ran, which I saw earlier in the tshuva quoted by the Bach of Reb Chaim Paltiel, is an emphasis on the mokom. And what that is going to do for us is hatfilu b'mokom ahu ritzuya yoser. It's going to somehow enhance the tefillah itself, but we're not talking about praying, you know, to the tzaddikim. Although, again, if we go back to the case of Kalev ben Yefuna, let's go back to page 1, the Gemara in Soto on top of your page, Vayalu v'negev v'yavo ad Chevron, Omar Rava Malamed Shepiresh Kalev miyatsas meraglim, he dropped out. I mean, it's not, you can't get something more explicit than that. Bikshu alai rachamim. So you can argue that Koli ben Yefuna was an exceptional case, and he appreciated the kedushas hamakom and the atzomos tahoros of the tzaddikim of the avos, but nevertheless, he's asking that the avos should be mispalel on his behalf. How do we reconcile that? Now, one of the great poskim for Ashkenazim is the Ma'aril, and again, if you take a look on page 3, the Ma'aril in Hilchas Tainius quotes an earlier source, Masha Regilu Alechas Beis Akvaris B'Tainius. Apparently, on fast days they would often visit the cemeteries. Yesh kama taimin ba Gemara. The Gemara, as we saw in Tainis, gives different explanations for that. He says, Nira Tamak mishum de beis hakvaros makom menuchas atzadikim. We should choose to visit not just carte blanche cemetery, but to find the kvarim of tzadikim. And you and I know people who will spend unlimited funds to visit kivrei tzadikim. Uvitoshu makom kadosh v'tar v'tfilin iskabla b'yoser al admas kodesh. He says, though, to Mariel, I have one warning for you. Hamishtateach al kivrei tzadikim ispalo al yosim magamoso neged ha-mason. He shouldn't ask the mason to bring salvation. Ach yivakesh me'eis Hashem yisbarach sheyitein olav rachamim b'schus ha-tzadikim shochnei ofar. Teinish mashem tzur b'tzarchai. So basically what he's saying is, be careful not to pray to the dead, but rather to pray directly to Hashem and ask for a schus from these tzaddikim. In other words, the makom is kodesh mitar, the tefillah is niskabel biyoser, admas kodesh, but the tefillah is al yosim agmaso keneged ha-mesim, but yivakesh meis Hashem yisbarach, it's got to be direct to Hashem. So again, even though Rav Chaim Paltiel that we saw, quoted by the Bach, is very inhibited, very reserved against visiting kivrei tzaddikim, you have to be on a special level for that. Again, unless you're coming to mevakesh mechila. But the Bach says that this minhag has already been widespread and accepted. And just like the Mariel says, you're allowed to daven, or you may even be encouraged to daven in a beis hakvaros of tzaddikim, but the substance of your prayer, the essence of your prayer, should be that bischus tzaddikim who are buried there, Hashem should respond to sharken your prayers. But we're still stuck a little bit with the idea of asking the dead to pray on our behalf. Now, on page 4, you have all sorts of quotes from the Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim. And what's common to all these quotes is that they codify the minhag to go to the Beis HaKvaros and to daven there. So first you'll see it in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. For example, Chayodim writes that on Erev Rosh Hashanah, Yesh Noagim Lelech Al HaKvaros, V'yeh Nizar Miyot Shlo Yosim Agmoso, he's quoting the Mariel, L'spal Vakish Men HaMesim, El yispal haKodesh Baruch Hu sheyasa chesed bischus haTzadikim haMeisim umar b'msham b'tzdakos v'tachnunim. And you'll see the same idea in the Shulchan Aruch and the Mefarshei Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Rosh Hashanah Siman Tavkuf Pei Aleph, the Erev Rosh Hashanah Yesh Mekomos Nogim Lelech Al Akvaros l'har b'msham v'tachnunim nosim shon tzdaka. And if you look in the Be'er Heitiv, he writes to Makom Kadosh, V'Torah, Tefillah, Niskabel Yoser. And then he quotes the whole business of the Mariel, that we shouldn't be Mevakesh from the Tzadikim, but we should Mevakesh from Hashem, B'Schus HaTzadikim. If you like in the Mishnah Berurah, he writes the same story, Makom Menuchas HaTzadikim, Tefillah, Niskabel Shom B'Yoser, Mevakesh Hashem Yisbarach, She'itain Olav Rachamim, B'Schus HaTzadikim. And then he says, V'yei leilich al kever echad shtei pavim v'yom echad. Okay, that's already Kabbalistic, I don't know. Then you'll see the same thing if you fast forward to Siman Tov Reish Vav, that's Erev Yom HaKippurim, Yesh Mekomo Shenogim leilich al kvaros laharbis b'tztaka. Says the Mishnah Berurah, al kvaros ulaharbos v'yuchal, litain zemos v'pijin kaporos. He says, "V'ein laharbo shom b'tchinos rak mashem miyusad me'akadmonim." Interesting. He's not in favor of an open-ended ticket, carte blanche. Just pray whatever you want to pray. He says, "You should only pray those prayers that were authored by the kadmonim, the earlier ones, because I guess those prayers will avoid anything that might possibly be a violation of the Yisod of Yisod HaTorah. And then you'll see the same thing in Hilchos Tainis and Hilchos Tisha B'Av. Again, in Yerushalayim, and this is probably true in Toronto as well, it gets very hot around Tisha B'Av time. I'm not sure if the best idea would be to visit a cemetery on Tisha B'Av, unless you're very well equipped with something to block out the sun, because usually a Beis HaKfaras is very, very hot. But the Rambam writes, Holchim al Kakfuros miyad k'shaholchim mibeis HaKnesses. In other words, they used to say kinnis until midday, and then afterwards they would go directly to the Beis HaKfaros. And the Mishnah Berurah adds, Kedei sheyavakshu aleinu rachamim. Now that language of the Mishnah Berurah, that's a little bit odd, because until now we've been pressing for the fact that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly for Rahamim and Bizchus HaTzadikim. But if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah here, his language is Al HaKvar Shal Yisrael Kedei Sheyavakshu Aleinu Rahamim. I don't know, the impression that I get here, I don't know if you get the same impression, is that we're asking the tzaddikim, like Kolev did, to be mevakesh aleinu rachamim. Similar to the medrash that we saw quoted by the Bach with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu, that he would be mevakesh aleinu rachamim. So it's not like the medrash of Yaakov Avinu, that in Kever Rachel there's a certain power to the tefillah, but rather we're asking the mason to be mispal on our behalf. That's what it seems to be saying over here. But again, if you're talking about the Ma'aril and the Bach and the Chayodom, everybody is saying that we have to be very careful as to what we say when we get to the Beis HaKvaros. In fact, if you look at the Chayodom on the top of page 4, it says, Yizar ma'od shelo yasim agmas l'spal l'vakish mea mesim. Don't ask for anything from the mesim. Shekar v'adav shiyizah b'chlal dorish al ha-mesim. El yispal ha-kodesh baruch shiyasa chesed b'schus ha-tzadikim ha-mesim. And again, all the emphasis on the skulas, kedushas, makom, kvurasim shel tzadikim for kabbalah's tefillah, that all indicates that our tefillah is the same identical tefillah that we would have if we weren't in the Beis HaKfaras. Just in the Beis HaKfaras, it's a makom skula, makom kadosh. It is a skula for Kabbalah HaTfilos. So we definitely want to visit the Beis HaKfaras, but we at the same time want to definitely be very careful about what we say in the Beis HaKfaras. And again, we're not praying to the dead, we're praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, but now there's a little bit of a turning point here, because the minig actually is to be mavakesh that the tzaddikim yamlitzu tov ba'adenu will come in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam and beseech and supplicate on our behalf, speak on our, for our good. And again, in the Gemaras that we saw about Kolev, it was explicit, Avosai Bikshalai Rachamim. Or for example, in the Gemara in Tainis Chav Gimel, Abba Abba, it sounds like he turned to his father. Or in Sota, Moshe Rabbeinu Omeid Bitfilosa Badenu. And even the language of Mishnah Berurah we saw was Kedei Sheyavakshu Aleinu Rachamim. The Nusach HaTfilah that's recited in the Maaseh HaMachpelah, which you'll see on page 5, on the bottom of the page, there too, and also the Kever of Shem Bar Yochai, we ask the tzaddikim lechalos pnei kel ba'adenu. It sounds very similar to the piyut that we say during Slichos and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, asking the machnisei rachamim lechalos pnei kel ba'adenu on our behalf. Now, again, this article is gigantic, but on page 17, there's a quote here from the Reb Bar Yochar, who is the Rebbe of Rashi, and he writes, "V'beis HaKfarsi Yispal Tefila HaKadosh Baruch Hu Achkach Yomer LaMesim Yispal LeFanav Sheikal Tefila Seinem." Now, the good news is that the Reb Bar Yochar is saying that we have to be Mispal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the bad news is we're going to ask the Mesim to pray on our behalf that Hashem will accept our prayers. So again, we're seeing that even as far as, you know, the members, you know, the people in Tanakh and the Tanoim and the Amoraim and so forth and so on, they're all invoking or requesting from the Mesim to offer tefillah on our behalf. Now on page 5 you have a tshuva from the Maran Shik, and he tries to give 3 justifications, explanations why there's no Isur being Doresh min HaMesim. His first explanation is Kevan she Doresh min HaRuach v'Neshama. Now I'm not sure what he means by this, but it sounds like he's saying that you're not really being Doresh from the mess himself, you're being Doresh from the neshama of the mess. Very complicated. His second explanation is,
what does that mean? I don't understand.
I know, in other words, when the a person, every person is made up of a combination of two parts. And one part is called the person himself, and the other part is the neshama of the person. So Doresh HaMesim is when you go to the person himself, but when you can somehow penetrate, you know, and reach straight to his neshama, that's not called Doresh HaMesim. I don't know, Joe. I can't help you with that.
I know, but it doesn't answer the. I understand, but I understand it's not to the person, but it doesn't answer from the standpoint of directly to Hashem.
Oh, no, that's not what this Maram Shik is about. Remember, we had 2 questions. One question was, it's not directly to Hashem. And the other question was, why isn't this called Doresh HaMesim? The Maram Shik is addressing the second question. Now let's look at his second answer. His second answer is a little bit more plausible. He says, HaTzadikim Nikroim Chayim, that the Tzadikim have a special status. So the Isur of being Doresh HaMesim doesn't apply to Tzadikim because they're considered Chayim. And his third explanation, which is the most lechumra, he says, "Lo mevakshim me'atzadikim." We're not asking the tzadikim for anything. Elo me'akadosh baruch hu. We're only asking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accept our prayers. So that's not called being Doresh HaMesim. Now, obviously, from the perspective of the Maram Shik, if we're going to ask the tzadikim to pray on our behalf, that's going to be a problem of Doresh HaMesim. So the only way we could avoid and circumvent the problem of using the Mesim as our emtsai, as our intermediary, is to assume that we're not turning to the tzaddik. We're not even asking the tzaddik to offer a plea on our behalf. We're not going to give the tzaddik any sort of control and say that he himself, you know, is a source of power and he dominates, you know, what we call shilton, but rather we're turning straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're sort of notifying the tzaddikim of our plight, our terrible situation, and the tzaddik himself suffers, or shall I say, empathizes with our suffering, and as a result, that's going to bring about a Yeshua. So number one, we're praying directly to Hashem, we're not attributing any source of power to anything or anybody other than Hashem, not to the Mason. We're turning straight to Hashem, but we're also notifying, says the Maram Shik, the dead. And again, we touched on this in the past, where the dead are aware of what goes on in this world, and according to the Maram Shik, they only become aware if we tell them. We have to notify them. We have to go to the kever. Once they suffer together with us, that's going to be a cause for Yeshua. Now on page 6 we have another tshuva, and I know it's getting late, so I'll just very quickly summarize the tshuva of the Minchas Elazar, the Mumkacher. He says, why is it that a bakasha yeshira me'atzadikim sheyimtzu tova meinim, why isn't that a violation of being dorish al meisim? And he goes back to the Gemara in Sanhedrin on page 2 that we saw before, and he says that that Isur only applies im hiriv atzmo v'holech v'lon v'beis hakvaros. He fasts and then he goes to sleep in a cemetery. Why does he do such a thing? Kidesha tishra olav ruach tuma. In other words, apparently there was something that goes back, you know, to the time of maybe idol worship, I don't know, back in the day, where they slept in a Beis HaKvaros, and that would somehow bring about the hovering of a Ruach Tumah, and that is absolutely forbidden under the law of the Isur of Dorish Al Mesim. But he says, Lo Shayach Benidon Didan, he says, that has no application in our cases of Hishtakhtutenu Al Kivrei HaTzadikim. We're not going to sleep in a cemetery, we're not trying to get a Ruach Tumah. On the contrary, we're trying to achieve Kedusha Tara. And the Munkacha adds, when we turn to the Tzaddik, that's not called an intermediary. Why not? Shematzinu b'tanach kama pa'avim shaholchu l'neviim l'spal badam. What's the difference between asking a Navi to be mispal, which appears all over the place in Tanakh, and asking the dead, the giants who have died, to pray on our behalf? It doesn't mean that we are exempt from praying to God. We're not going to rely exclusively on the Navi, if he's alive, right? Or on the dead. But rather, we're going to ask the dead, the tzaddikim, who are great in their Misa, Yosef Milchayim, as we saw by Moshe Rabbeinu, to pray on our behalf. But that's only a chizuk, that's only a strength to our prayer. He says, "K'shem shemutu leches l'tzadik levakish meni shispal olav badenu bechayav." In other words, a chassid will go to his rebbe and ask the rebbe to pray. Is kach mutu levakish mei tzadikim shebemosam nikraim chayim shispal olayim? And basically, even according to the Munkacher, it comes out that the heter to be mispalel and to ask and supplicate the tzaddikim to pray on our behalf, it's all based on the fact that tzaddikim b'mosam nikraim chayim, and therefore they become the exception to the rule of Dorish Min HaMesim. And there's no iser of being Dorish Min HaMesim because they are considered chayim. And the Gesher HaChaim, who's the super commentary on all laws of that have to do with death, mourning, and burial, he says that the Zohar explicitly says Shatzadik b'mosu nikrachai is therefore mutal avakesh me'atzadik sheyamlitz be'ad filo seinu v'yosef gam hu l'tfilo l'spalish v'azbar. So again, these are all ways of being mechazek our tfilo. We are not relying on the tzaddik. He is not the original source of our Yeshua. Our Yeshua will come exclusively from Hashem Yisbarach, straight from Hashem. We can go to a place which is more effective for tefillah. It's a makom kvuras tzaddikim. It's got kedusha and tara. We can even go as far as asking the tzaddik sheyamlitz bi'ad tefillo seinu. But it doesn't mean that this is going to replace our tefillah. And everything comes back to the fact that just like we could ask a tzaddik during his lifetime to pray on our behalf, the Ramban says that that's
that question.
The Ramban says that, that was the line, you know, in Yisrael there was a queue, as the Brits say, right? There was a long queue to get to see Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because everyone wanted, Ramban says that he should be mispal for their children, their sick children. That's okay. Because again, we want to get all the schusim and all the tefillos we can. But you can't be Dorish al Mesim. The answer is that tzaddikim afil b'misosam nikraim chayim. David, I'll be right with you. So I just want to say, in summary, l'halacha l'maisa, it's definitely mutter to go to a Beis HaKvaros to be mispal shom, as we saw in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah in many places. However, There's got to be a very careful and meticulous nusach ha-tefillah. We got to make sure and guarantee that without tefillos, we are turning to Hashem and not to the mason. We may be allowed to ask the mason to add their prayers on our behalf. But that's only to strengthen our prayers. Yeah, David.
Okay, so let's say you can find the person who was killed on Kiddush Hashem. Would you say that tefillah has more power than, let's say, somebody who's just a good person in your life? Because he's for sure a Kiddush. He's killed on Kiddush, there's no question to tell it. Even for the one act, right?
Again, it sounds like you're right, David. I'm not qualified to give you, you know, some sort of intelligent answer. You know, somebody who was killed al Kiddush Hashem is certainly called a Kadosh.
Right.
Does it mean, therefore, that we, you know, we want to go to his Makom Kvura if we only know where it is and ask for him to be mispal for us? I don't know. I'm not sure. I think logically what you're saying should be correct.
Like, I'm trying to ask in general, is there different qualities of tzidkus? In other words, somebody who's a bigger tzedek than somebody else, maybe he get more power out of nothing by his caver than by the one who's maybe a tzedek or less of a tzedek, whatever.
Correct. Well, basically, what we should have in mind when we visit, you know, Bar Samach Pela or Kever Rashbi, is that Bizchus HaTzadikim, you know, we're really, again, it's a funny kind of thing, but we're pointing to the Tzadikim and saying, God, you know, we ask you to remember the tzaddikim. Let that be a zchus for us. That's what we call zchus avos. And we're not being mispal to Hashem, you know, we're not being mispal to the mason, that's for sure not. And even to be mispalel to the mason, that they should be mispal on our behalf, we have to be very careful. Not everyone is in favor of that. Certainly Reb Chaim Paltiel was not in favor of that. It was only to enhance our prayers at that place with Shemakom Kaddish, or to ask Hashem to remember the schus of the tzaddikim. But even if you're going to go a step further, and again, there are many sources that seem to do so, like Kalev, that we're asking them, the dead, to pray for our behalf, it's got to be in a very limited kind of way. It's got to A, be tzaddikim who are considered chayim, even b'misos, and B, it's got to be a supplement, or a, that's a bad word, a compliment, you know, to add to our prayers, but it doesn't substitute from our prayers. And C, it's got to be presented and formulated in a tefillah way which indicates that they, the tzaddikim, do not have power. They don't have the source of power. So again, the real minhag of that we've seen in Dorei Doros, all these generations from time immemorial to be mispala kibri tzaddikim, and when we ask them to be mamlitz tov ba'adenu, as we saw in the name of the Zohar quoted by the Reb Ben Bakar, all that which was codified by the Maram Shik and the Minchas Alaz and the Geshra Chaim and so on, all that has to be done with a very serious COVID rush in a very, you know, what's that phrase in science when they talk about an experiment? It's got to be a controlled experiment. Is that what it's called? You know, the environment has to be very controlled, and here too, it's got to be very controlled, because otherwise, if it gets out of hand and it becomes carte blanche, and you know, everybody and their uncle are going out to kibri to the Beis HaKvaris, you know, every mutig and darnishtig, it can really be a violation of Dorish El Amesim. And even worse than that, it might be an undermining of one of the Yud Gimel Ikri Adas if we're relying on these Mesim, on these Tzaddikim, and they are going to do the job for us. So that's what I got. That's what I got out of this discussion.
All right.
All right then, Shkaya. Thank you so much.